Okay. Boy, it's Labor Day weekend, isn't it? Half the church is gone. I'm glad that you are here. Glad to have some our visitors this morning. Welcome. And other visitors, welcome back. Thank you for coming back. And I have a message that I wanted to bring this morning. And we have communion this morning. And, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to God and my congregation. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and as I mentioned earlier on when we sang the hymn, Anywhere with Jesus, I Can Safely Go. You know, it's not easy, if you can imagine, try to imagine this. Ethan, you might imagine this. I called you Ethan, didn't I? Yes, sorry. But try to imagine you're a teenager. Try to imagine that you're between about 15 to 18 years old. Your parents are taken away from you, and then you're put in chains and forced to march to Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. And you enter into this country, and everybody speaks a different language, and you're just a young person. And yet, for some reason, God has you in this predicament, this place, and this crisis. Now, we don't know how old these guys were at this point in time. They're obviously older, and I said they're between 15 and 18 years old, but they could have been quite possibly older. We don't know how old Daniel and the three Hebrew children were. But I do know this, that though they were put into a foreign culture, and though they were put into a completely new environment, they stayed true to God. I take this message out of last Wednesday night as I was working with the new believers in Christ, in Jesus, and discipling these. And we were talking about the fact that, and I have some high school kids there. I think two of them are high school kids. I have some college kids, age kids, and then I have some older people. But we're talking about peer pressure, and Randy mentioned peer pressure, didn't he? How that he just wanted to fit in. And there's always a danger to, as a Christian, to want to fit into the mold of the world. And to be afraid to stand alone. But I want to emphasize to you that Jesus Christ taught us that we are to be different. We are to be different, we are to live different, we are to be different inside than what the world is. And I want to start us off with these scriptures that I have listed on that text there up on the walls. And if you turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 33. Now these are some of the last words, and this is the last, one of the last times that Jesus is with his disciples, okay? And he's told them he's leaving them. And they're very afraid. They were troubled at the fact that this one that they knew was leaving them. They didn't know what that meant. And they were afraid. And Jesus calms her. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. You believe in God. Believe also in me, he says. But notice he says, he then goes into teaching them many things. But in verse 33 of this chapter 16, John, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In this world, Christians, you will have tribulation. And what he means by that is persecution. I think the Greek word is thalepsis, which means pressure. You will have pressure upon you by the world that you will feel the pressure to conform to the way they live. But he's saying that you're to be different. And I want you to see what makes us different. What makes a Christian different than the world? Let's look at it. John 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Now he begins to pray. And he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. What's he mean, the hour has come? He means that the hour has come for him to die on the cross. The hour has come when he will be forsaken by his disciples. They will run away from him, leave him alone, and he will then be arrested, tried, and crucified for our sins. Now, but he wants God to be glorified through all of these events, and he's asking God to help him to glorify him and to glorify his Father through these events. Now look at it, what it says here. Verse 2, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that's all humanity, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And I believe that when God calls you to salvation like he did with Randy, you know, Randy, hearing your story there about, I had no idea what I was praying the day I prayed to ask Christ into my life. I had no idea. I believed that Jesus died for my sins, that he was buried. For the first time, realized he was resurrected, and I believed in him, and I asked him into my life, but I didn't have any idea. Like you said, what now? And all I knew was that I had found Jesus in this church, and so that Sunday night I went back to church, and I learned more, and I was baptized that Sunday night. And I can only tell you that God brought me along. And I believe that those who he calls, he brings through salvation. And he carries through in their life what he starts. And we're given to Jesus by the Father. Now verse 3, and this is eternal life. Here it is. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You want to know what eternal life is? It's that simple. This is eternal life. To know. To know. To know Jesus Christ. To know God as your Father. And to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's eternal life. And that's what Jesus says that he gives. And he talks about his sheep. I give my sheep eternal life, and they will never perish. Neither will anyone pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know God? Seriously. Say, I've been to church all my life, but I don't personally know God. You know, one of the things I realized in this sermon today is that God is very personable. I've said it a million times, but God's love is very personal. It's individual. His love for you is not as a whole. His love for you is his love for you. And he knows everything about you. And it's a personal love. It's a personal, intimate relationship. And that's what Jesus said. This is eternal life, that they may know you. You know, I know my wife. She knows me. We know each other. There's things about me that you don't know that she knows, because we have a personal relationship. I know my daughter. I won't go there, right, Cher? I always pick on Charity and she gets mad at me. But you know, when you know someone, you know a lot more. And God wants a relationship that you know him, that you know him personally. And I must admit, like Randy, I didn't know anything about the Lord. I didn't know. And if you don't have that knowledge, then you don't have eternal life. But God had saved me, and he began to reveal himself to me. And I began to read the Bible. And I went to Sunday school, I went to church, I went Sunday nights, I went Wednesday nights, and on and on. But I wanted to know God. And as I gradually got to know God, he changed my life. Because when you know the Lord, there's nothing like it. When you have a personal and intimate relationship with God, as Randy said, heaven above is sweeter blue. Earth below is brighter green. Something lives in every you Christless eyes have never seen. Christ in your life changes everything. And that's what is salvation. And Jesus says to his disciples that to know him, who he is as the only begotten Son of God, and to know that he died on the cross for our sins, and to know that he would rise from the dead, and to know him in a personal, intimate way is eternal life. And then he goes on to say, verse 4, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself. And this is interesting, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. With the glory, what's he talking about? The glory I had with you before the world was. What does that mean? It means that Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem. You say he was. I know he was. He was born physically in Bethlehem, but he didn't begin to exist in Bethlehem. He had been with the Father from all the eternity past. And he had shared the glory of heaven with his Father. He was the living person known as the Word of God. And he says, he was, it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him, and without him, the Word, nothing was made that is made. See, Jesus existed before he was born. And he says, I want you to glorify me and that I might get back into glory which I had with you from before the world was. So Jesus was in the world, and he was God, but he was leaving the world. He was leaving the world. And he was going to leave you. He's going to leave his disciples, right? He was humanly going to leave his disciples, bodily. And we know he died on the cross and he rose from the dead the third day, bodily. He ate food. They held the hands and the nails, and they saw and they believed. But then he ascended right in front of their eyes, bodily, back to the Father's right hand. Where he is, lives today, where he's seated today at the Father's right hand. But he sent his Holy Spirit into this world, as Randy said, thanks Randy, for those details, to come into our heart, to come into us and live in us. And that's where the personal relationship begins. And he doesn't leave us. He said, I will never leave them, and no one can take them from me. They're mine, and I have an eternal relationship with them. And they know me, and they'll grow to know me, and we'll grow to know him more. But then he says this, and this is what I want you to see, verse 6. He says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. You know what makes us different? Courage to be different. You know what makes us different? What makes us different than the world? And here's, what is it? Christ. But in specific, it's that we follow the teachings of Scripture. And when we follow the teachings of Scripture, our lives look different than the world. Our lives are different inside than the world. Now, look at verse 8 with me. For I have given to them what? What did Jesus give to them? The words which you have given me. And they have received them. And they have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. And then he goes down and he says, I pray for them. I don't pray for the world, but I pray for those who you have given me, for they are yours. And on and on. But verse 11, now I am no longer in the world. He was going to be leaving them. He would die, rise from the dead, ascend back to the Father. And as I said, he would send the Holy Spirit. The Father would send his Spirit to come into our hearts. But now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. We're here. We are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. What's it say? Keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. And that's pretty intense, isn't it? But look at verse 14 now. I want to make my point, and then actually I'm going to close. We're not going to get to Daniel, but we will next week, Lord willing. Verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of this world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, Satan. They are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know what makes us different? And you know why it makes it hard to fit in to this world? Because God's word changes our life. And when God's word changes our heart and changes our life, we don't fit in to the world anymore. We don't fit in. You know, it talks in Peter about how that the people that you used to hang out with, people you used to party with, Randy, the people that you used to hang out with and do the things that you did them with, they think it's weird that you're not going to the bars anymore. They think it's weird that you're not, you know, as I've told this story 150 times, probably times 10, about my friends that I sat in the middle of their passing of their dope, and I'm talking about people from my hometown passing their dope, and they hand it to me, and I said, and I handed it on, they said, aren't you? I said, I got saved. And they kind of chuckled. They laughed, chuckled. You got saved. But when you get saved, your life changes. And you don't fit into the world. And you know what changes us? The Lord's Spirit in us and the teachings of the Bible. Because it says, as it says in Romans 12, 1, I beseech you. I'm beseeching you, Paul writes. I'm pleading with you. According to the mercies of God for you, he says, present your life, present your body to me, to God, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your logical thing to do, it says. It's logical to give your life back to Christ who gave his life for you. It's only logical. It's illogical that you would not want to live for Jesus. It's logical that you present yourself back to Jesus. And then he says, and do not be conformed to this world. do not be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renovating of your mind. And what renovates our mind? Taking the old junk of the way we used to think out and putting the Word of God in, and you begin to think biblically. And it changes the way you live. But that word, and let me just share this. It says, don't be conformed any longer to this world. The word conformed is an interesting word. It means, don't pretend to be something you're not. You're a Christian. Don't pretend to be a worldling. You're not a worldling. You're a Christian. And as the idea of masquerading, I mentioned, and I've told you this story again, I know, about sitting in that group of people passing around their dope. And when I said I got saved, there was another guy in that group sitting on the floor with my friends who had also gotten saved. I was in Orlando at that time, and I was saved about 40 miles north of there. And when I lost my job, I went down. I thought, well, I'll stay with my friends, and I didn't fit in there anymore. But here was a kid that was a Christian, and he attended the church of the people that these friends of mine sent me down. There's a guy like you down the street here. You can go to see him. So I did. Went down to see this Christian. And in the midst of this group of kids was a guy who was saved in that guy's church. And a little bit later on that night, he came down with his tail between his legs, and he said, you know, I was ashamed when you said that. Because here you are, a new Christian, and I've been a Christian, and yet I'm sitting in the midst of these people, and I was convicted. I remember in college, my professor would put his hand in his coat and go like this and say, who am I pretending to be? Anybody have an idea? Napoleon Bonaparte. When you're out in society and in school, kids, and at your jobs, do you masquerade like the world? Do you try to fit in with the world? Or do you say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ's words and be different because I am different. We are in the world, but what's it say? We are not of the world. This world is perishing, beloved. This world is headed to a devil's hell. And Jesus said, many are on that road. But we are on the narrow road. And to live for Christ is to live for Christ. And to die is gain. Now next week we'll look at the three Hebrew children. It's a great sermon. The three Hebrew children that either had to bend their knee to the king or burn. And they had a choice to make. And I know you know that choice, but you don't know this sermon. So come back. And bring the rest of the church with you next week. All right? All right, let's pray together. Jesus, I pray by your Spirit and your very person, Lord, that you would convict some hearts and show them their need of turning from their sinful life and world and their sinful lifestyle, and bowing their knee to you as their Lord and Savior, Christ. Open the eye of someone here who needs you. Open the heart's eyes, the eyes of faith, that would see you are alive and you are their Lord and Savior. And I pray that there would be someone here who in this very moment would say, I understand. And you can pray to Jesus, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned against you. And I've lived for myself and I've lived for this world and I'm empty. But I now see you died on a cross for my sins. You took the horrible sufferings for my sins, Jesus. And I thank you that you died for my sins, all of them. And I thank you that you arose, and I believe in you. Jesus, come into my life by your Spirit and save me. And give me eternal life today. In your name I pray.